In April of 2010, Anwar al-Awlaki's name was added to the CIA's kill or capture list. Normally, Americans don't pay a lot of attention to that list, but al-Awlaki was born in New Mexico. He was an American citizen. And there's a separate set of legal rules that govern the use of lethal force by a government against its own people. 5 months ago, al-Awlaki was killed in Yemen by a drone strike, and yesterday, without admitting responsibility for al-Awlaki's death, Attorney General Eric Holder explained the legal justification for the targeted killing of American citizens.
Now, let me be clear. An operation using lethal force in a foreign country targeted against a U.S. citizen who is a senior operational leader of al-Qaeda or associated forces and who is actively engaged in planning to kill Americans would be lawful.
That's Holder speaking yesterday at Chicago's Northwestern University. And we're joined now by two legal experts that can hopefully help us understand the complicated points of law involved here. Mary Ellen O'Connell is professor of international law at the University of Notre Dame and vice president of the American Society of International Law. And Karen Greenberg is the director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Good to be here, Celeste. Thank you.
Mary Ellen, maybe you can first establish the difference between assassination and a targeted killing. Eric Holder made a particular point many times during his speech yesterday to say that the killing of al-Awlaki or any other similar killing is not an assassination. How does that work?
Well, it's very reminiscent, isn't it, Celeste, of playing around with words and terms. It wasn't so long ago where you were talking about harsh interrogation versus torture. It is correct that on a traditional battlefield and in actual armed conflict hostilities, if soldiers are trying to target a particular leader, they know who that person is, a commander on the battlefield, that would be lawful. But what the Attorney General is talking about, going after named individuals who are not in a battlefield, who are not involved in armed conflict hostilities, that is assassination and that is unlawful.
And yet, Karen Greenberg, his argument is that because the war on terror is not a so-called standard war, as we've seen in, say, World War I, World War II, that the rules are a little differently, the battlefields are a little different.
Right, but I don't think that's his main argument, but it is one of the things that he talks about. I mean, the big argument here, and I think Mary Ellen is right to point this out, is how consistent this is with what we've seen since the beginning of the war on terror and how the rules can change depending on what it is that the government wants to do, and then by decree they do it. And yes, it's because in part this is what they're calling an asymmetric war, and therefore can't use just what conventional warfare requires.
Well, Karen, first let's walk through these criteria that Eric Holder laid out. He said there's three conditions that have to exist in order for an attack of this kind, the targeting and killing of an American citizen, to be lawful. And here are the three things. The U.S. government has to have determined that the individual poses an imminent threat of violent attack against America. Number two, the capture of the suspect must be not feasible. And number three, the operation should be conducted within the principles of the law of war. Explain these three criteria to us, and what law of war is he talking about? American law?
Well, I think he's using it vaguely, and I think Mary Ellen can talk more about the law of war. But what he's really talking about here, there are three things, and then I want to bring in a fourth that intersects with them. First is the imminent threat of some kind of violence. And, I mean, the real issue throughout this speech is how you determine, A, who you're going to kill, B, what is an imminent threat, which is the same language that is used if you want to stretch this, if you're talking about a ticking time bomb and whether or not you're going to torture somebody. And the idea of an imminent threat, the real issue here is what are the procedures used to determine and who determines whether it's an imminent threat, which, by the way, is news with Anwar al-Awlaki, who is the individual this memo is essentially about. And also, how do you determine an imminent threat in terrorism matters has always been an issue in what's the difference between what they're saying, what they're proselytizing, who they're bringing over to the cause, and what they're actually planning. So that's the gray area there. Capture not being feasible is also interesting and a gray area because much of what Holder talks about yesterday and what what he's indicating has to do with timing, which again gets back to the imminent threat. It's not just, well, they're in Pakistan, well, they're in Yemen, but that we say we actually can't capture them. What does that mean? We can't capture them because too many others would die. We can't capture them because of the sovereignty of the nation. What is the reason? Here it seems to be largely a matter of timing. And again, I don't know what kind of information is behind that, but it certainly makes you wonder. In terms of the Eighth Amendment, which is the Fifth Amendment, which is the constitutional issue here, the phrase that really stands out here is that Holder says, and he says it very clearly, is that due process is not judicial process.
Yeah. What does that mean?
That is an extraordinary thing from my point of view to have said, because for many who work in this field, due process is associated with, you know, whether or not you're going to be charged, whether or not you're going to be brought to trial, whether you're not going to be detained even under the laws of war. So that is the real issue here. And even though he does list the three you talk about, this, from my point of view, has to be the third. And finally, I just want to say one thing that's not here that's very important. The original OLC memo from 2001 that talked about killings was inadvertently was really about taking away citizenship, which this does not mention, and I was actually very happy to see that.
Karen Greenberg is the director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School. Let me go back to Mary Ellen O'Connell, professor of international law at the University of Notre Dame. Mary Ellen, I have to wonder whether or not this legal justification would allow the U.S. government to carry out a strike on an American on American soil. Is this only restricted to foreign territories?
Well, this is the big concern, Celeste. Where are the limits in all of this? The president has, by fiat, determined where the battlefield is. He can do that any time. Under international law, the battlefield is where there's actual armed conflict hostilities going on. That's not true of all the world. That's not true in places with weak governments. And the only place the United States is currently at war with the right to carry out this kind of killing, whether it's a U.S. citizen or not, is in Afghanistan. And it should be a concern to American citizens that the president decides, based on internal decisions of the Justice Department, that some particular person, wherever he or she is a danger and too difficult to capture. That's not the way the law works. The law makes it clear. Places that are not characterized by armed conflict hostilities are subject to criminal law enforcement rules, and everyone has the right to be charged with a crime, arrested, and put on trial. And it's really quite shocking that the president, who is a professor of law, and his attorney general, who's a very distinguished lawyer, would not be true to that fundamental principle that the United States stands for.
Mary Ellen O'Connell, professor of international law at the University of Notre Dame and vice president of the American Society of International Law, and Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham Law School, talking about the comments Eric Holder made during a speech at Chicago's Northwestern University yesterday. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.